Thank you very much for the organizer, Peter and Celine. It's a nice event. I will tell you a bit about where I come from before telling you where I want to go. So first of all, my name is Luca. My last name is Ciambelli. Here at PI, I'm in office 428. So please feel free to pass by, stop by if you have any question, if you want to have a chat. I'm also delocalized around the building, of course, so you will find me everywhere. So I come from Italy, near Milan, and I studied my PhD in Paris. Actually, not Paris, really, near Paris, in an institution called École Polytechnique. Their symbol is a sort of an X. École Polytechnique. Actually, the original symbol are like two swords. I don't know how to do them properly, like something like this. And of course, this comes from Napoleon times, so it was built by Napoleon. But actually, the Polytechnique legend is that in that time, polytechnicians were the only people know to do the integral of X. That's why it's an X. That's the legend. Okay, so the symbol is an X because they knew how to integrate X, and they were the only one in France. Anyway. So I did my PhD there, and the topic of my PhD, I will tell you about it a bit, is I would say toward flatography. I will tell you about it in a moment. Let me first tell you also that I already did a postdoc in Brussels. Now, the symbol of the university is not that funny, it's just ULB, but their motto is Scientia vincere tenebra, which means science wins against the shadow. So very funny also. Interesting, interesting, I would say. I worked on, here I worked on asymptotic symmetries. Now, not only, I will tell you more about it, but you know, more or less. And well, guess what? Now I'm a new postdoc at PI. And okay, so let me tell you what I did here to begin with. So this was, we started working on that in 2015. So in 2015, this was pretty much understood already. And what was not understood was that, you know, here you have the cosmological constant, you can send it to zero, and you end up on Minkowski. Well, asymptotically flat spacetime, so just write it Minkowski for short. And what was not understood was, okay, can we somehow close this square? And you know, people very smart like Sabrina and friends at Harvard that were already saying something about celestial holography, but it was the beginning also. So there were not a lot of things we knew. And in particular, the microscopic theory, I would say, is still nowadays challenging to find out. So what we did at the time, we thought, okay, we don't know the microscopic, but we know the macroscopic. How do we know that? It's because there is a spin-off of this theory, which is what is called the fluid gravity correspondence. And essentially, while in the bulk you're in ADS, in the boundary, what you assume is that you have a sort, instead of a CFT, you work macro, so you have a sort of hydrodynamics description. And the theory that turns out to be the right one is the theory of relativistic conformal hydrodynamics. Okay, so you have a theory to start from the bulk, get to the boundary, get some data about this non-gravitational theory, or vice versa. Starting from the boundary, reconstruct your bulk dual where a theory of gravity leads. Okay, so we don't know what is there. What we did was to take this, which was a little bit more accessible at the time. And it turned out that this limit corresponds to sending lambda to zero in the bulk, corresponds to send c to zero, the speed of light in the boundary, in a very precise way. And therefore, the answer we gave was that there is a Carolian fluid living here. Carol is just a way to refer to this c goes to zero limit of hydrodynamics. And so therefore, there was Carolian hydro. And we had the picture in which, starting from the bulk, asymptotically flat, you cut those lines loose, and you just get a completely asymptotically flat description. You start from the bulk, you get some Carol hydrodynamic data, or vice versa. This was also probably more interesting. You start from a Carolian hydro and you reconstruct an asymptotically flat space-time with Einstein equations. Okay, so that was my PhD. In the postdoc, we ended up starting to probe a bit more the microscopic structure of the theory, what's really going on there. This is like putting the theory in a box. I don't know what it is at very, you know, high frequencies inside, but I know what it is when I look it from far away. So then we decided to try to look at it more seriously, and well, asymptotic symmetry is a nice tool, but actually this allowed me to appreciate that I was just scratching the surface of a big topic, which is the topic of symmetries or asymptotic symmetries for gauge theories. So if I just give you a gauge theory without any boundary or nothing, all gauge symmetries are trivial. There are no charges associated to it. But if I give you a gauge theory and I put a boundary, then some of these gauge symmetries become physical. And they're associated with non-trivial charges. So I start with the gauge theory. You can take your preferred one. You can do Maxwell. You can do QED, QCD. You can do general relativity, for instance. And you take a gauge theory and you supply it with some boundary and some boundary conditions. Then there exist non-trivial charges. And these non-trivial charges are very peculiar because they are defined on a codimension 2. So they are not charges that are the integral on some, you know, hypersurface, they scry. They are actually just integrals on a codimension 2, say S. So if I just describe you Minkowski, something like this, you know, where here I have scry, these charges are actually defined on a dot on scry, which is actually a two-sphere, right? These charges are Noether charges. They come from Noether second theorem, which is a bit less appreciated than Noether first theorem for global symmetries. There are charges associated to local symmetries, and they turn out to be ubiquitous and everywhere. So there are charges associated to what we call nowadays corners. This codimension two spaces on which we integrate these charges are called corners, and there are everywhere. There are these charges near on the black hole horizon. These charges are on scry. They are everywhere, and there are symmetries that control these charges, and there are Poisson brackets, hopefully, among these charges. So whenever you have a symmetry in a theory that you know nothing about it, for instance, quantum gravity, you have a symmetry, you have an important tool, right? You organize your theory with these symmetries, and we're finding that there are more bigger and bigger symmetries and algebras and structures. So we are hoping to constrain more and more what the quantum gravity theory will turn out to be. So it's essentially the same philosophy of what we did here. Let's put the theory in a box. We don't know what the theory is, but we have a lot of symmetries now. And the program, which we call the corner program, is to try to constrain or understand quantum gravity starting from the first fundamental blocks, which are the symmetries. So I worked on that a bit here, but it's, you know, a long avenue. I just started the road, and for the moment, I have a constant speed, and I hope to accelerate on this road a bit and get some new interesting results. And thank you very much. By the way, just one quick thing, sorry. This Wednesday, I will talk about these things more in the quantum gravity group at 11 a.m. I don't know which room. Which room?
Yeah.
Here. So if you won't stay here until Wednesday. Yes.
So yeah, in the Minkowski and Carolan hydrodynamics. Then the Minkowski, we have Lorentz. What happens to it in the Carolan?
Yes. Thanks. So in Minkowski, you do have, well, if you take the full Minkowski, like everywhere, you have Poincaré also. You have translations and everything, right? So this is a well-known result from 62. That's the year that if you take Poincaré and you go asymptotic. So you go in this direction, or if you want, you go in this direction. Poincaré becomes the Bondi, Van der Boer, Metzgner, and Sachs group. It's an infinite dimensional extension where you don't have only four translations. You have infinitely many super translations, they're called. And I stick to that for the moment. There are generalizations of this, but let me stick to the simplest one in 62. And very good. So if you just apply the same discussion as here, where we know that the asymptotic symmetries of the bulk become the global symmetries of the boundary theory. That's how we know there is a CFT before even computing anything about it. Therefore, there is a BMS theory there. Now, BMS in four dimensions has been shown in a beautiful paper by Gibbons et al, let me say, because I don't have a lot of time, I don't want to. Gibbons, Horvathy, and Duval, Christian Duval, has been shown to be isomorphic to a group which is called the conformal Carolian group, MS4, on level 2. So this particular conformal Carolian group, and this is the group that underline Carolian hydrodynamics and Carolian theories. So even without knowing what was there, if we knew better symmetries, we knew already which kind of theory you can put.
So this conformal group is a kind of non-relativistic conformal, right?
Non-relativistic is confusing. Let me just say ultra-relativistic, if you prefer. Is this so? Very good. So
yeah, there is some kind of
limit. Yeah. So let me just say this: if you remove the C here and you get Carolian only, this is an Inono-Wigner contraction of Poincaré, where the speed of light goes to zero. Not infinity. If you do the infinity, you get the Galilean algebra known. Yeah. So this is a special group, and the fluid is completely awkward, and the theory is ugly, but it's there, you know. We have to understand it better, let's say, put it this way.
Yes.
I don't know.
Particles of spins. So you have particles moving in your space time.
My theory is about none of those, because indeed the microscopic theory is very complicated, and there is a whole initiative to try to understand that better. But we did this macroscopic spin-off, so independently whether you will have strings or particles or flowers, when you zoom out and you go with some this long wavelength approximation where hydrodynamic leads, you will just see thermodynamics quantities associated to those. So we don't have actually control of what the microscopic theory is. And if you actually do some smart Fourier transforming on SCRI, you get down to a CFT in two dimensions. So it looks like you have a theory of fields living there, and you can control a bit better the micro. But for what we did, we didn't have an answer to that question. We couldn't access that question.
You can formulate that like a dictionary in terms of quantities on the CFT and quantities on the other side, no?
On the you have a dictionary. Yes. Of course, you have a dictionary. But it's a dictionary between a theory of fields without dynamical gravity and the theory of gravity.
Yeah, I ask one more question. So in this hydro description, can you see if this hydro theory can come from a unitary theory or not? Or this question?
Can, but we don't know the answer to it.
So it's possible to ask questions.
It's possible to ask that question. It's not trivial, and there are works in now. Okay, now if you try to go a bit more microscopic into this, you can just say, okay, I have a theory with the symmetry. Let me write down a field theory. So I write down, you know, scalar propagators, 2-point functions. You can. It's not easy. It is work in progress. Carolian 2-point functions is a work in progress. And you can see what is happening there. But there are a lot of features that are very unusual. Like when you rephrase it in terms of a CFT2, for instance, you get that the conformal weights of your fields change under the action of supertranslations, which are part of your residual symmetries. This is a very unusual feature in a CFT, right?
Yeah, but when you say you can write the theory, doesn't mean the action.
Loran tries to write down the Carolian actions for Carolian hydrodynamics. That's a recent discussion we are doing. We have written down actions, but not really actions that would be dual in any sense to a bulk for the moment. I haven't done that for the asymptotic fluid.